God who made heaven and earth, who keep it true forever and who never forsake the works of his own hands. Grace and peace be unto you from him that is and that was and that is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness and the firstborn from the dead, and the prince of all kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this worship service by singing Psalm 1, all stanzas. Psalm 1, all stanzas.
Thank you.
Testament in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. But first we read the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We repeat the scripture reading, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. And then said He unto His disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If he had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the roots, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him, By and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to eat? And will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go shew yourself unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Where there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? And there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto his disciples, The day will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here or see there. nor go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, and they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he that shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that day there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. So far the scripture reading. Let us pray. Lord, we are gathered together for the second time this day, and we pray thee for thy attendance and thy indwelling spirit, because there is no any expectation of man, and it will never be. We are completely fleshly, carnal souls in the sin, like Lot was by living in Sodom, and even by fleeing to Zoar, because it was not safe in Zoar either, because of their same sinfulness of Sodom, and Lot ends up in the mountain cave, just what the angels have told him. And that we may remember Lot's wife, because she never died to the law, and she became a salt killer by looking back to Sodom, because her heart was still in Sodom, was still in the world. O Lord, that we may understand the warning not to look back to this world, because this world is full of fire of temptations, and we are like straw that easily can burn in the flames of temptations. O Lord, we need deliverance from the power of the devil by thy Son. Deliverance from the power of the sin and from the bondage of the law. O Lord, take reason out of thyself, because there is no any reason in man that can please thee. Make us free from under the law if we are still in bondage. If we are still in bondage of it, and revive us again and again if we belong to thee. That thy Spirit may dwell in us, in leading us and moving us in thy ways. O Lord, we went off road in paradise, and we took the wrong way, the broad way, willfully. And we have chosen for the off road to please the devil. But that terrible of disobedience is heading to eternal destruction. Lord, make us willing to accept our punishment and lead us back on the right way, which is Christ. And give us a heart and a mouth to tell all the rights of thy mouth, And the only truth that Jesus Christ came in the flesh to save lost sinners and prodigal sons and daughters. Lord, break down the kingdom of the devil worldwide and increase thy kingdom all over the world. Be with the widows and the orphans, the sick and the afflicted, also among us. Be with thy persecuted people, also in the Western world. This world is full of enmity against thee, and by nature our hearts too. But renew us as in the days of old. It doesn't matter when we have to go a lonesome way, if we may be thy own, if we may belong to thee in Christ, then we have our footsteps in heaven. O Lord, be with the widows and the orphans, the sick and the afflicted, and be with the new life in the mother's womb. Open thy words and our hearts to hear what the Spirit has to say to the congregation. We pray thee in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, if it is right, we all know that we live in a time of a big apostasy. And that is foretold in the Word of God on different places, especially in the book of Revelation. The big apostasy of the current Christianity from the law of God and from the gospel of Christ is going on and on. And it is public, and we can hear it and see it is visible in Christian nations, in Reformed churches, in Christian families and personal life. Sin is no sin anymore in our days. Evil is not evil, and the truth is struggling on the streets. False teachers have dominion in the churches, and the doctrine of Christ is diabolized, and God's children are living without a care, bearing his reproach. And by the way, with the living without a care is not a bad place, because Christ is there among his people to sanctify them by suffering that is strange among us. Be sanctified by suffering. But sanctified by the suffering of Christ, that is free grace. And it is also free, because it is free grace. And the rich man was busy with political church business and church celebrations to be the reverend and to conceive honor from another. But the poor Lazarus was starving at his gate, being licked by some dogs. Yeah, that is the way people of God and walk in it, because we are looking for a city not made by hands, but which is eternal in heaven. To suffer for Christ's sake is not a burden, it is an honor. I say it again, to suffer for Christ's sake is not a burden, but an honor. For it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. However, apostasy from the doctrines of Christ is illustrated by facts in history of the church and by the predictions of the apostles who foretold. Apostasy is traced in the decline of the Reformation,
declining the doctrine of Reformation, the justification of the ungodly,
the rise of Arminianism, Socinianism, Pelagianism, Antinomianism, and critical understanding of the scriptures. And that have resulted in accepting of heresies like evolutionism and occultism and sodomy.
Lot has to flee out of Sodom, but now in our days all the Reformed churches are established in Sodom, including all Reformed pastors.
And the apostasy of the current churches can be heard, and it is visible all over the place. And God is taking away his people out of the current Western churches by replacing his candlestick to other countries and other nations. And believers who do not see that are blind and indoctrinated by a false gospel according to man. There's a church today. And a gospel according to man, that is a gospel according to the flesh. And it is public that the most ministers corrupt the simplicity of the gospel by a mixture of a vain philosophy and legalistic and political preaching to keep a false peace and flesh like a false peace, and so that the church business will be continued. And heresies arise by affecting the person of Christ as Arminianism and Arianism, and by affecting the grace of Christ as Pelagianism. Men became impatient of sound doctrine, and the ministry of iniquity continues to be developed till it is reached its consummation in papacy.
Therefore, a better name for Reformed churches is papacy churches.
And the causes of this declension from orthodoxy are numerable. For example, rooted enmity to spiritual things like Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous.
And with that enmity against God, the Reformed churches are pregnant of it.
And then there is more spiritual ignorance on the part of men who possess some knowledge and make a profession of the truth. Another thing is pride of heart and legalistic humbleness. It's church today. Careless security by a self-application of the promises of God. You can hear it all over the place. Love of the world, that is enmity against God. There is no biblical church, unity in defense against the influence of Satan, and no discipline against false doctrines and heresies as a result of a total blindness and Egyptian darkness. And that is a judgment of God. We have prayed for it. And that the Lord leave the Western countries and the Western churches, that is a judgment of God. Because we take all the divine things in our own hands. And practical apostasy into open profanity and vice is traced to the facts in the public teachers of the religion, and the false appropriation of names and titles, as when men living in sin claim to be the church, evil example in high places. Apostasy from purity of worship is exhibited in the neglect of what God has appointed and by additions which he has not appointed.
A man wants to be God himself.
And the danger arising from the prevailing apostasy is declared. And biblical warnings are given in order to escape being involved in it.
Therefore, the text for our sermon is a big warning, even for God's people, for all that backsliding in our days.
And congregation, the text for our preaching, which we want to preach in the tents of the Lord, can be found in the chapter read in Luke 17, verse 32, where it says, "Remember Lot's wife."
And do you know what the preaching is in our days? Don't remember Lot's wife. Because Lot's wife is our friend. Because Lot's wife can have an office in political parties. And Reverend Stelwagen is shaking hands with Lot's wife. Because Lot's wife became an elder in different churches.
And Christ foretells in this chapter read his coming in his kingdom. In answer to the question which the Pharisees asked him, when the kingdom of God should come. And in what he says of his coming, he evidently has respect to two things. His coming wrath at the destruction of Jerusalem, and his coming at the end of the world to judge all the inhabitants of the entire world from the beginning to the very end. And he compares the destruction of Jerusalem and his coming on the clouds at those times to the coming of God in two remarkable judgments that were passed. And first, he compares to that in the time of the flood. For it says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. And next he compares it to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Likewise, for it says, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And then he immediately proceeds to direct his people how they should behave themselves at the appearance of the signal of that day's approach, referring especially to the destruction of Jerusalem. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. We have read it in the chapter. And in which words Christ shows that they should make the utmost haste to flee and to get out of the city to the mountains, as he commanded in Matthew 24, verse 15, and so on. And when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains, let them which is in the housetop not come down to anything out of the house, neither let him which is in the field turn back to take his clothes. Now Jerusalem was like Sodom. In that it was devoted to destruction by special divine wrath, and indeed to a more terrible destruction than that of Sodom. And therefore the like direction is given concerning fleeing out of it with the utmost haste, without looking behind, as the angel gave to Lot when he bid him flee out of Sodom. Escape for your life, look not behind thee, and neither stay thou in all the plain. And in the text, Christ enforces his counsel by the instance of Lot's wife. He bids them to remember her and take warning by her, who looked back as she was fleeing out of Sodom and became a pillar of salt.
Now in all the Reformed churches, all the pulpits are pillar of salt, but also the contents of it, all pillar of salt, because the current preachers do not warn, likewise this warning, remember Lot's wife. No, they handle with it. They agree with it. All that false doctrine that goes along with a very religious and loving preaching according to the flesh.
Now in our days, Lot's wife is placed on the list of the so-called Christian political parties to be involved with political abominations, trespassing God's holy law and his divine order of creation, like the SGP members of the second chamber doing day by day with support of all Reformed pastors. And that political salt pillar, religion, is one of the evidences that the foretold apostasy in 2 Thessalonians 2 has already begun, And that apostasy will end up in receiving the sign of the beast and worshipping the beast.
But I preach you in the name of God, this backsliding is one way. I repeat it, this backsliding in Reformed churches is one way. There is no way going back. There is an escape. Oh yeah. Come out of that backsliding churches. Come out of it. Otherwise you have communion with their sins. And you will receive the punishment, the same punishment.
And if we take it not serious, I mean by faith, then we will fall in it, because there is no security outside of faith, and outside in God-fearing life. If it be inquired by Christ gave this direction to his people to flee out of Jerusalem in such exceeding haste, at the first notice of the signal of her approaching destruction, I answer, it seems to be because fleeing out of Jerusalem was a type of fleeing out of the state of sin.
And it is also an image of Revelation 18, verse 4, to flee out of the Babylon churches, fleeing out of the Sodomitic Reformed churches.
Fleeing out of the state of darkness, escaping out of that unbelieving city typified an escape out of a state of unbelief. Like it says in Revelation 18 verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. And that is meant out of Babylon. What does it mean? Out of worldly churches. Of course, first it means out of the state of unbelief, out of the life of the old man under the law. But the righteous Lot was told to flee out of Sodom with his wife and daughters. And then it happens that Lot's wife looked back against the commandment of the angels, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And therefore concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, the inhabitants of that city were directed to flee out, and that we should flee to Jesus Christ, our strong rock, and the mount of our defense, so as in fleeing to him to leave and to forsake heartily all earthly things. The law come in, if the commandment came, sin revived, then you can flee, and you will flee in the wrong direction. That is our part. Because we cannot find the Lord Jesus, he is hidden in the wings of God's righteousness. He has to reveal himself. Because lost sinners will be found by him, as you have heard in the parable of the lost prodigal son. Who was the one who was fleeing? The son of the father. Who was the one who embraced one another? The son of the father. That is justification, that is regeneration. And then you can say, I have heard it out of his mouth. Yeah, this seems to be the chief reason also why Lot was directed to make such haste and not to look behind, because his fleeing out of Sodom was designed on purpose to be a type of our fleeing from that state of sin and misery in which we are by nature.
When the Lord is calling out his people out of the Reformed churches, because they agree with Babylon, they agree with apostasy, because the Reformed churches are the same as Sodom and Gomorrah. And that is the reason that God's people has to come out of it.
Because Sodom is a city full of filthiness and abominations. Like the Western world has become the same, but there is nothing new under the sun. The Roman Empire was full of the state of the same abominations like Sodom, but however, there is a big difference. The Roman Empire was Gentile, heathenism. But now the current Christianity become more and more Gentile by accepting the abominations of Sodom as lawful, even in the Reformed churches. That is a fruit of apostasy. Then we leave the doctrine of Christ, you know, we leave everything. That is a going out the truth. Stay in the truth, my dear child. Stay in the truth, my dear children. Because the Lord Jesus is coming on the clouds. And we heard his footsteps by different signs. And the inhabitants of Sodom are a polluted company. They are all under the power and dominion of hateful lusts. And all their faculties and affections are polluted with those vile dispositions that are unworthy of the human nature, and that greatly debased, that are exceedingly hateful to God. And every kind of spiritual abomination abounds in it. Sodom, my beloved, is a city full of devils and all unclean spirits. And that kind of cities, countries and churches are like the city of Babylon. And they have become the habitation of demons and the hold of every fool spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. You can read it in Revelation 18, verse 2. And therefore it sounds, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. But for all those believers who do not leave that wicked church, as it sounds, woe to them. For they have gone in the way of Canaan, and run greedily after the arrow of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Jude 1, verse 11. So between leaving and staying of that kind of churches, God's word is clear about the difference between the children of the devil and the children of God. For it says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whoever doeth not righteous is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. 1 John 3, verse 10. So it is clear that Sodom is a city full of devils and all unclean spirits, like all the Reformed churches have become, because in spite of confessing the three forms of unity, they all accepted the forms of Sodom, whereof the Nashville statement undersigned by 235 pastors, the real and clear evidences. And there they have their dominion. There they sport and wallow in filthiness. Now some in Sodom may seem to carry a fair face and make a fair outward show, but if we could look into their hearts, they are everyone altogether filthy and abominable. And we ought to flee from such a city with the utmost abhorrence of the place and society, with no desires to dwell longer there, and never to discover the least inclination to return to it. And by nature, beloved, we are full of that sin. We are talking about Sodom, but you don't need to look out of the window if the Holy Spirit gives a look in your own heart. In paradise, we know God, and we hear his voice. That was the state of righteousness. But the Lord driven us out, and there is an angel in the entrance with a sword, and we cannot return to paradise anymore. And now we live under the law in sin. That is the judgment the Lord has warned us If you are eating of that forbidden fruit in paradise, then you will die in threefold manner. Temporary death, spiritual death, and eternal death. The Lord has provided a door in the valley of Achor. And that valley is a valley full of sin. That is a valley full of graves. That is one big sepulcher. And in that valley, God created a door. And that door is Christ. It's promised to Abraham. If there was no covenant, there was no salvation. If there was no baptizing, there was no salvation. No. The Lord establishes covenant from people to people, from child to child, until the last elected one will be regenerated. And then he comes. We ought not look back when fleeing out of Sodom, because Sodom is a city appointed to destruction. And the cry of the city has reached up to heaven, like the cry of Nineveh, like the sin of Nineveh. And the earth cannot bear such a burden as her inhabitants are. And she will therefore disburden herself of them and spew them out. And God will not suffer such a city to stand. He will consume it. God is holy, and his nature is infinitely opposite to all such uncleanness. And he will therefore be a consuming fire to it. And the holiness of God will not suffer it to stand. And the majesty and judges of God require that the inhabitants of that city who thus offend and provoke him be destroyed. And God will surely destroy them. It is the immutable decree of our God. He has said it and he will do it. And he is almighty and able to fulfill his decrees and threatens, so surely will he destroy Sodom. And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because of the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. That was the talk of the angels. That was the warning of the angels. And they cannot change it because it was a commandment of God. It was a will of God. God has decided to destruct Sodom and Gomorrah. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of their sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. Now it is said in Revelation 18 verse 4 by the Son of God himself, and that is said to all of us. Where is your heart? Where is your desire? Where are your longings in the world? Do you have your footsteps in heaven? Well, we are so fleshly, we cannot understand these things outside of the revelation of the Spirit of God. If you get a new heart, my child, of God, you take it away, that stone heart, because by nature we have a stone heart, and he gives you a new heart, it's a fleshly heart. Fleshly, yeah. But it's not fleshly soaked in the sin. A new heart is a regenerated heart. We ought not to look back when fleeing out of Sodom, because the destruction to which is appointed is exceedingly dreadful. It is appointed to utter destruction, to be wholly and entirely consumed. It is appointed to suffer the wrath of the great God, which is to be poured down from God upon it, like a dreadful storm of fire and brimstone. And this city is to be filled full of the wrath of God, and everyone that remains in it shall have the fire of God's wrath come down on his head and into his soul. And he shall be full of fire and full of the wrath of the Almighty. He shall be encompassed with fire without and full of fire within. And his head, his heart, his bowels, and all his limbs shall be full of fire, and not a drop of water to cool him. We know it by the talk of the rich man in hell. And how should we flee without looking behind us? How should it be Our whole intent to get at the greatest distance from a city in such circumstances, and how far should we be from thinking at all of returning to a city which has such wrath hanging over it? And the destruction to which Sodom is appointed is an universal destruction. All shorts, old and young, great and small, shall be destroyed. And there shall be no exception of any age or any sex or any condition, but all shall perish together. And then the Lord raineth upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. And we therefore must not delay to look behind us, for there is no place of safety in Sodom, nor in all the plain on which Sodom is built. And the mountain of safety is before us and not behind us. And the destruction to which Sodom is appointed is an everlasting destruction. And this is said of literal Sodom, that it suffered the vengeance of eternal fire. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, it says, and the cities about them will in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And the destruction of Sodom, that Sodom and Gomorrah suffered, was an eternal destruction. Those cities were destroyed and have never been built since and are not capable of being rebuilt. For the land on which they stood at the time of their destruction sank and has ever since been covered with the lake of Sodom, or called the Dead Sea, or as it is called in the scripture, the Salt Sea. This seems to have been thus ordered on purpose to be a type of the eternal destruction of ungodly men, so that fire by which they were destroyed is called eternal fire, because it was a type of eternal destruction of ungodly men, which may be in part what is intended. And when it is said in the text in Jude that they were set forth for an example, or for a type of representation of the eternal fire in which all the ungodly are to be consumed. And Sodom has in all ages since been covered with a lake, which was first brought on it by fire and brimstone to be a type of the lake of fire and brimstone in which ungodly men shall have their part forever and ever. As we read in Revelation 20, verse 15 and elsewhere.
And what happens now in our days? Well, lots of holiday journeys are going to Israel, and all that women and men, even the pastors who are leading that holiday groups, are going to swim in the Dead Sea, making a lot of pleasure in the place where God was raining fire and brimstone. Now the Reformed churches in our days are the same as the Dead Sea, because there is no living fish in there. And the Reformed pastors are fishing and fishing in the Dead Sea, and they do not catch anything but the dead. And that they call the fruit of the preaching, but it is a valley of dead. So do not harden your heart and escape for your life.
And we ought not therefore to look back when fleeing out of Sodom, seeing that the destruction to which is the appointment is an eternal destruction, for it renders the destruction infinitely dreadful. Sodom is a city appointed to swift and sudden destruction. The destruction is not only certain and inevitable and infinitely dreadful, but it will come speedily. And their judgment lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So the storm of wrath, the black clouds of divine vengeance, even now every moment hang over them, and just ready to break forth and come down in a dreadful manner upon them. God has already wet his sword and bent his bow and made ready his arrow on the string. And therefore we should make haste and not look behind.
That is the first thing what happens, you know, when we flee out the city of destruction where we live in by nature.
If we linger and stop to look back and flee not before our lives, there is a great danger that we shall be involved in the common ruin. And that is now a wonder, beloved, because in the state of misery, there happened two things. Driven by the law, because the law is full of wrath over the sinner, but there happens one thing more. The drawing love of the Father is stronger than the desire to look back. Don't forget it. But, you know, in the state of misery, you cannot make a decision that it goes to the right way. That it goes to the right direction. Only if we are delivered by Christ, the deliverance of Christ, set us in the freedom of Christ, and then we are regenerated and justified. That we have to know by experience. The destruction of Sodom is not only swift, but will come suddenly and unexpectedly. And it seems to have been a fair morning in Sodom before it was destroyed. It seems that there were no clouds to be seen, no appearance of any storm at all, much less of a storm of fire and brimstone. And the inhabitants of Sodom expected no such thing. And even when Lot told his sons-in-law of it, they wouldn't believe it. They were making merry. And their hearts were at ease, but it came at once. As travail upon a woman with child, and there was no escaping, as verse 28 and 29 says, they did eat, they drank, and they bought, and they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So it is with wicked men. How are they brought into desolation? In a moment, they are utterly consumed with terror. Then you have no time to convert yourself. If therefore we linger and look back, we may be suddenly overtaken and seized with destruction. There is nothing in Sodom that is worth looking back upon. And all that, the enjoyments of Sodom will soon perish in the common destruction. All will be burned up, because the destruction of Sodom is the destruction of this earth. Because the Lord has said, I created a new heaven and a new earth, full of righteousness. But this earth will not be flooded anymore, but will be burned down. And that is, yeah, the destruction of Sodom is a type of it. And therefore it is foolish for any who are fleeing out of Sodom, out of the state of sin, out of the state under the law, out of the state of the old man, to hanker anymore after them. Now Lot's wife looked back because she remembered the pleasant things in Sodom, and she hankered after them, and she could not but look back with a watchful eye upon the city where she had lived in such ease and pleasure. And Sodom was a place of great outward plenty, and the soil about Sodom was exceedingly fruitful. It is said to be as the garden of God.
Now Abram gave Lot the privilege to make a choice where he wants to live. And Lot saw that the plain of Sodom was so fruitful He makes his choice to live there. And it ends up in the city, in the wicked city. But
fullness of bread was one of the sins of the place. Here Lot and his wife lived plentifully, and it was a place where the inhabitants wallowed in carnal pleasures and delights. But however much it abounded in these things, and what were they worth now when the city was burning, Lot's wife was very foolish and lingering in her escape for the sake of the things which were all on fire. And so the enjoyment, the profits, and the pleasure of sin have the wrath and the curse of God on them. Brimstone is scattered upon them. Hellfire is ready to kindle on them. It is not therefore worthwhile for any person to look back after such things.
Yeah, the devil promises cows with golden horns. But you know, what is the end of it? Eternal hellfire.
And we are warned by messengers sent to us from God to make haste in our flight from Sodom and not to look behind us. And God sent to us his ministers, the angel of the churches on this errand.
In early days, we got a lot of dead ministers. But in our days, there is nothing left. And one of the evidence for it is take away the tractament and there are no ministers anymore. The current ministers are no more than actors, you know. And actors want to be paid for their job because they have no calling. They have no divine calling. And the evidence is visible. And you can hear it all over the place.
But first let us sing. Sing of Psalm 103, verse 6. You can find it on the back of the paper. Psalm 103, verse 6. The life of man is fleeting like the grasses. And like a flower when the storm passes, it is soon. It's gone, its place knows it no more. And what follows in verse 6, Psalm 103.
Oh,
with a few words of application, because the use that I would make of our text verse is to warn those who are in the state of the old man under the law to flee out of it, and by no means to look back, be convicted that while you are out of Christ, you are in Sodom. Don't deceive yourself. I say it again. When you are out of Christ, you are still in Sodom. And the whole history of the destruction of Sodom with all its circumstances seem to be inserted in the scripture for our warning. And it is set forth for an example, as the apostle Jude says. It in a lively manner typifies the case of natural man, the destruction of those that continue in a natural state, and the manner of their escape who flee to Christ.
But nobody does. We all are fleeing to hell. We are dead enemies of our own salvation. And by nature we are doing everything to be condemned forever. God's word gives so many proofs of that.
The psalmist, when speaking of the appointed punishment of the ungodly man, seems evidently to refer to the destruction of Sodom, because it says, upon the wicked God shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest, and this shall be the portion of their cup. Consider therefore, beloved, that you that are seeking an interest in Christ, you have to flee out of Sodom. And Sodom is the place of your nature state, because by nature we live in Sodom, and the place where you have to spend your life. And you are citizens of that city which is full of filthiness and abomination before God, that polluted and accursed city.
John Bunyan has written in his Pilgrim Progress what it means that we live in that wicked city by nature.
And you belong to that impure society. You not only live among them, but you are of them. You have committed those abominations and have so provoked God, as you have heard. And perhaps you may look in your circumstances as it not very dreadful that you dwell in Sodom. Though you may be reformed and appear with a clean outside and a smooth face to the world, but yet as long as you are in the natural condition, you are impure inhabitants of Sodom.
Don't deceive yourself. In the current churches, you will be established on the broad way. Very religious, very friendly, you know, with a flag of love. And it goes along with all the precious words on their lips: Christ, grace, free grace, and it is nothing but false religion. Because all the current Reformed preachers are preaching that it is not necessary, that the old man has to die. And that is a proof that in our days the law is not be preached as a service of death. And the result of that preaching is that you can be converted and still on the Broadway. And on the Broadway there is much more religion than on the narrow way. But on the narrow way there is only true religion. And the Lord God reveals that distinction also in our days.
The world of mankind is divided in two companies, or as I may say, into two cities. And there is the city of Zion, the church of God, the whole and the beloved city, and there is Sodom. It is foretold in the word of God. How much soever you may look upon yourselves as better than some others, you are of the same city, the same company of fornicators and drunkards and adulterers and common swearers and highwaymen and pirates. And so on. How much soever you may think yourself distinguished, as long as you are out of Christ, you belong to the very same society. And you are of the company you join with them, and you are not better than they, any otherwise than as you have great restraints. And you are considered in the sight of God as fit to be ranked with them. And you and they are altogether the objects of loathing and abhorrence, and have the wrath of God abiding on you. You will go with them and be destroyed with them if you do not escape from your present state. You are of the same society and the same company with the devils. For Sodom is not only the city of wicked men, but it is hold of every fool spirit, a city that has a storm of fire and wrath hanging over it.
Therefore it still sounds.
Look not back in remembrance of the enjoyments which you have had in Sodom, as a hankering after the pleasant things which you have had there, after the ease, the security and the pleasure which you have there enjoyed. Remember Lot's wife. For she looked back and as being Lot utterly and forever to leave the ease, the pleasure and the plenty which she enjoyed in Sodom, and as having a mind to return to them again. Remember what became of her. Remember the children of Israel in the wilderness who were of going back again into Egypt. Because it says, we remember the flesh which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Remember what was the issue. And you must be willing forever to leave all these things, and all the ease and pleasure and profit of sin, to forsake all the salvation as Lot forsook all and left all he had to escape out of Sodom.
Now I can tell you, my dear congregation, in the state of misery, the bridge to the world and the pleasant things, even the life in entertainment in the churches, will be pulled up. And then you're going to see that the political church preaching is not biblical. And then you're going to see that you are deceived by the current preaching. Because the current preaching has a theme, and that sounds sleep well. But if you believe in it, that is your own guilt, because God's word is so clear. But in our days, they hold it for true faith if they believe in a church, if they believe in a pastor. But then you're deceiving yourself for eternity. Therefore, be aware, because
the destruction of which you are in danger is infinitely more dreadful than the destruction of the little Sodom from which Lot fled. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in a storm of fire and brimstone was but a shadow of the destruction of ungodly men in hell. And it is no more to it than a shadow or a picture, an image, is to a reality. Or then painted fire is to real fire. The misery of hell is set forth by various shadows and images in the scripture as blackness of darkness, a never-dying worm, infernal of fire, a lake of fire and brimstone, the torments of the valley of the son of Hinnom. And you have therefore much more need to make haste in your escape than not look behind.
If you are reformed, very religious, and strict in your walk and doings, but if you are still in your carnal nature,
you are every day and every moment in danger of the thousand times more dreadful storm coming on your heads than that which came on Sodom. And because the destruction of Sodom was for a moment, but literally. But the destruction of a man under the law,
that is forever.
For however well you may think you have behaved yourself, and have greater guilt upon you than the inhabitants of Sodom. Although you may seem to yourself and perhaps to others to be very harmless creatures, verily I say unto you, it shall be more terrible of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. The wrath of God has not delayed, and when Lot's wife looked back, she was immediately destroyed. And God had exercised patience toward her before. When she lingered and at the setting out, the angels pressed her and her husband and children to make haste. Not only so, but when they yet delayed, they brought her forth and set her without the city. And there the Lord was being merciful to her. But now, when notwithstanding this mercy and the warnings which had been given her, she looked back, and God exercised no more patience toward her, but proceeded immediately to put her to death. Now God has in like manner been merciful to you, to us, to all of us, and therefore remember Lot's wife. If now, after all, you should look back, then God has been so merciful to you, and you will have reason to fear that God will certainly destroy you, multitudes, when they have been looking back and putting off to another time, have never had another opportunity, and they have been suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. If you look back and live long after it, there will be great danger that you will never get any further. The only way to seek salvation is to press forward with all your might, and still to look and press forward and never to stand still. And when Lot's wife stopped in her flight and stood still in order that she might look, her punishment was that she was to stand forever. And she never got any further, she never got beyond that place, but there she stood as a pillar of salt. A durable pillar, a monument of wrath for her folly and wickedness. So it was very often with backsliders, though they may live a considerable time after, when they look back after they have been taking pains for their salvation, they lose all, they put themselves under vast disadvantages. By quenching the Spirit of God and losing their convictions, they dreadfully harden their own hearts and stupefy their souls. And they make way for discouragement and dreadfully strengthen and establish the interest of sin in their hearts. Many ways give Satan great advantages to ruin them and provoke God oftentimes utterly to leave them to hardness of heart. And when they come to look back, and their souls presently become dead and hard like the body of Lot's wife. And when persons in fleeing out of Sodom look back, their last case is far worse than the first. And experience confirms that none of dynasties are so hard to be brought to penance as backsliders. But you yet remain in the cursed city among the cursed company. You are yet in Sodom, which God is about to so terrible to destroy, and where you are in danger every minute of having snares, fire and brimstone come down on your head. And though so many have obtained, yet you have not obtained deliverance.
The fruit of backsliding is so terrible, you destroy your soul.
And backsliding after such a time as this will have a vastly greater tendency to seal a man's damnation than at another time. The state of things in the world seem to be ripe for some great revolution. Now therefore everyone should flee for his life and escape to the mountain, lest he be consumed. We cannot certainly tell what God is about to do, but this we may know, that those who are out of Christ are in the most unsafe state. And there is in the heart a great love and hankering desire after the ease, pleasure and enjoyments of Sodom, as there was in Lot's wife, by which person are continually liable to temptations to look back. And the heart is so much towards Sodom that it is a difficult thing to keep the eye from turning that way.
It is not only difficult but impossible. We need the deliverance of Christ. Are you crying after him? Non-stoppable? Is that a non-stoppable crying? Be aware.
Discouragement tends to backsliding. It weakens person's hands. Backsliding is a disease that is exceeding secret in its way of working. It is a flattering distemper. It works like a consumption, wherein persons often flatter themselves that they are not worse, but something better. And in a hopeful way to recover till a few days before they die. So, it is that backsliding commonly comes upon persons that have for some time been under any considerable convictions and afterwards lose them. Beloved, remember Lot's wife, because the time is so short and the eternity is never ending. And let the unconverted ones in our midst remember what the Lord is still doing by word and spirit, of what he says in John 5 verse 5, verily, verily, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that shall hear shall live.
Remember Lot's wife. If you not flee out of Sodom, that is your natural state, if you not come to Christ unconditionally with a rope around your neck and cry for forgiveness, then there is no salvation. That is not the condition to be born again. No, no. That is the way it goes. That is the going through the narrow gate. And otherwise you're climbing over the wall. But all that climbers over the wall became salt pillars. Remember Lot's wife and come to the judgment seat of God, because the Lord is so merciful for lost sinners. Amen.
O Lord, we thank thee for thy word, and let it be to our salvation, because we are no better than Lot, and that we may become the worse, for there is righteousness for the worse. And Lot was justified in spite of his sin, because the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross for Lot and for all his children. O Lord, we pray for a revival, a real revival, not a revival of man, but by the Holy Spirit. Be with us in the coming week, lead us in thy ways, and be with us all the days of our life, as thou hast said to thy real children, and lo, I'll be with you all the days, even unto the end of the world. O Lord, we live in the end times. That is for sure. And all the nations are gathered together against thy people. O Lord, as nation we have sinned against thee. So terrible, but there is no public witnesses. O Lord, let us return to thee. Also, when it must go to judgment, to punishment, O Lord, we are no more worthy than that. But remember us in thy judgment, in Christ. Because he was in the judgment, he was descended into hell instead of his people. O Lord, deliver us from sin, deliver us from ourselves, that we may come to thee on our knees, flat on the ground. O Lord, give us reconciliation, because there is reconciliation. Christ, he gave his life, but also in present tense, he gave an application of salvation to a lost sinner, He has no life in himself anymore, who must condemn himself like the murderer on the cross, who accept his judgment. Lord, that he may come to sign our punishment, to accept our judgment. That's the way that thou have revealed in thy word, to go through the narrow gate. It is a so narrow gate, only dead people can go through. And in the gate, thy make them alive. Lord, make us alive in Christ, so that we lost our carnal nature, our carnal old man. He must die, because Christ is alive, is resurrected from the dead, and that we may live in him forever and ever. Be with thy people around the world, be with the widows and the orphans, be with the sick and the afflicted. O Lord, be with our children in this terrible world, but that they may become guilty as a lost prodigal son or prodigal daughter, to return to thee, to may find grace in thy eyes. We pray for Jesus' sake, his sake only. Amen.
Let us finish by singing Psalm 73 verse 8. Psalm 73 verse 8. Whom do I have in heaven but thee? Who shall on earth my refuge be? Since I have thee as a rock and savior, I seek no further wealth or favor. What follows in Psalm 73 verse 8.
Oh,
receive the blessing of the Lord, which we lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious to thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.